بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وادخلنا برحمتك يا أكرم الأكرمين. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on with our series on أسماء الله الحسنى, the most beautiful names of Allah. And we have covered several names so far. Perhaps half of the names that we want to cover thus far we've covered. And so we continue. Tonight we have names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three names that basically refer to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ilm, His knowledge. And so these three names are Al-Alim, Al-Alim, and Al-Khabir. Al-Alim, Al-Alim, and Al-Khabir. As for Alim, it has been mentioned in the Quran 13 times, and every time it was added to Al-Ghayb and Al-Shahada, or Al-Ghayb on its own. Al-Ghayb means the unseen, and Al-Shahada means the seen. So Allah tells us that He is Alimul Ghayb wa-Shahada. He is the knower of the unseen and the seen. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then you'll be returned to the one who knows the ghayb, the unseen, and the seen. And then he'll inform you of what you used to do. And other times, Allah just mentions al-ghayb on its own. For example, in Surah Al-Jinn, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. The knower of the unseen. The knower of the unseen, disclosing none of it to anyone. Allah doesn't disclose the unseen to anyone. And twice, Allah's name, Alim, has been mentioned in the plural form. And so, in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And we granted Ibrahim sound judgment early on, and we knew him very well. Allah says, we knew him very well. وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And also in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah says, وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ. وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ. And we know everything. We have knowledge of everything. And we spoke about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to Himself in the plural form. We spoke about this last time and what that means. And so this is Allah's name, Al-Alim. As for Al-Alim, this is a name that has been mentioned multiple times in the Quran. And if you were to count the number of times, it comes to approximately 157 times in the Quran. So this is one of the names that has been mentioned frequently in the Quran. Just like other names of Allah, like Al-Ghafoor, Al-Rahim, Al-Aziz. These names are frequently mentioned in the Quran. And many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a particular phrase. What is that? Inna Allah kana aliman hakima. No. Inna Allah?
Inna Allah aliman hakim, or wallahu aliman hakim.
Okay, so that's Allah combining between alim with hakim. But something else. Just say qadir. We mentioned like qadir. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, and
Inna Allah bi kulli
shayin alim. Wallahu bi kulli shayin alim. That Allah has knowledge of everything. As for al-khabir, it has been mentioned 45 times in the Quran. And most of the time, it's mentioned as وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, or وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. That Allah is fully aware of what you do. Allah is fully aware of what you do. And sometimes it's mentioned on its own. For example, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. In Surah Al-Adiyat, Allah says, surely their Lord is all aware of them on that day, meaning the Day of Judgment. So, what do these names mean? As we mentioned earlier, they all refer to the ilm, the knowledge of Allah. So these names, they teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows everything. He comprehends everything. He is fully aware of all things. Even before they exist, even before they happen, He is the one who has knowledge with certainty. Not knowledge which is tainted with doubt. And He is the one who knows the past, the present, and the future. And nothing is concealed from Him. Nothing is hidden from His knowledge. And so He is the one who knows everything in general and in detail. And so this is generally the meaning of these names. Al-Alim, Al-Alim, and Al-Khabir. And to put this knowledge into perspective, we have the story of Musa and Khidr. That Allah mentions in Surah Al-Kahf, but the Prophet ﷺ mentions it in more detail in a hadith in Sahih Muslim. A long hadith, the Prophet explains that story to us. Basically, Musa alayhi salam thought that he was the most knowledgeable person on earth, because he was a prophet of Allah. He knew things that other people did not know. So Allah wanted to teach him a lesson and tell him that, no, there's someone else who has knowledge that I have given, who I have not given to you. I have not given that knowledge to you. And that was Khidr. So Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam wanted to meet him. He wanted to see who this person is. So he traveled. Allah tells us the story in Surah Al-Kahf. Anyways, the point is, when they met, and when they met and they were on the ship, Khidr wanted to show and explain the knowledge of Allah compared to whose knowledge? And Khidr. the two most knowledgeable people on the face of the earth at that time. So Khidr, he says to Musa alayhi salam,
it's a battery.
So Musa alayhi salam, or Khidr, he says to Musa alayhi salam, as they were on the ship, there was a pigeon or a bird that landed and put its beak into the ocean, the sea. So Khidr said, my knowledge and your knowledge compared to the knowledge of Allah is like what this bird took out from the water of the ocean, the sea. What did it take out? Perhaps a drop or two. It's uncomparable. The knowledge we have compared to the knowledge of Allah cannot be compared. There's no way for us to even begin to think that we can comprehend the knowledge of Allah. It's impossible. We can't even come near to it. And that is why it's important for us to submit to Allah and whatever He decides, whatever He decrees in His creation. And we're going to come to this point later on. Because sometimes we cannot make sense of things. Why does Allah do this? Why does He do that? Why does Allah legislate this? Why does He legislate that? We can try to comprehend it. We can try to understand it. But in the end of the day, what is our knowledge compared to the knowledge of Allah? It's like a person who comes to the ocean and he says, he takes a glass and he says, I want all the water of this ocean to be in this glass. It's impossible. And unfortunately, some of us, we fall into this trap. And we say we want to understand why Allah does things. Why Allah, decrees such and such. And I have to understand it. Right? And so it's impossible for us to even begin to imagine comprehending the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright. Now, Al-Alim and Al-Alim come from the same root word of Al-Ilm, right? Knowledge. But there's another word that refers to knowledge in the Arabic language. What is that? There's ilm and there's ma'rifah, right? Ma'rifah. And the verb for that is ya'rifu, right? Arafa ya'rifu. What's the difference between ilm and ma'rifah? So we attribute to Allah ilm, right? He is al-alim. And ya'lamu, he knows, as Allah mentions in the Quran, that He knows. Ya'lamu. Can we attribute to Allah ma'rifa?
Is it because it's so vague?
Okay.
Because normally in Arabic when you use ma'rifa, or this guy has a ma'rifa in this topic, it's like he has an overall idea of it, or like ilm is more about detail and more about knowing every single part of it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come to that. That's the meaning of the third name, Al-Khabir. Right? We're going to come to that. But when it comes to Ma'rifah, we cannot... First of all, we have the rule when it comes to Allah's names, and that is what? We only attribute to Allah what He Himself attributes to Himself, right? So that's the rule we go by. We simply say we do not attribute to Allah Ma'rifah because He Himself did not attribute to Himself. You know, nowhere will you find Allah or His Messenger saying Allahu Ya'rifu or Inna Allah Arifun. It doesn't come in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Secondly, the reason for that, they say, is that Al-Ma'rifah is knowledge which is gained through learning, through training, through experience. So, what preceded that? Ignorance. Right? What preceded that was ignorance. This person didn't know, now he knows. And we do not attribute that to Allah. We do not attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is al-alim, He is alim. He's also al-lam, al-allam al-ghuyub. As for al-khabir, it comes from the root word of khibra. Khibra means to have detailed knowledge of something. And that's why when you say someone is khabir, what does that mean? He is experienced or skilled in something particular. He knows something inside out. So, al-ilm is more general, and al-khibra is more specific. So when we say Allah is al-alim and He is al-alim, meaning, in the general sense, Allah knows everything, right? Encompassing absolutely everything. Whereas khabir refers to the one who has knowledge of the finest details of things. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala usually uses His name al-khabir to describe His knowledge of the small, minute things that most others don't know. Those things that most others do not know. For example, in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze and protect their private parts. That is purer for them. How does Allah end the ayah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. For verily Allah is all aware of what they do. خَبِيرٌ. Now, why didn't Allah say Alim here? The scholars say because your sight and your gaze and what you look at is something that you can hide from people around you. You know, you can appear to be looking at something while in reality you're looking at something else. Right? To those around you. So no one knows what you're actually looking at besides Allah. Which is why he uses his name Al-Khabir here. Also, in Surah Al-Adiyat, we mentioned the ayah, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. Surely their Lord is all aware of them on that day, meaning the Day of Judgment. But Allah is aware of us at all times, right? Why does He specifically mention that He is fully aware of us on that day? Because no one knows, no one else knows what was deep inside our hearts besides Him. And so He will inform us of every small thing that is in our hearts that other people have no knowledge of. What's the evidence of this? What are the ayat before them? وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Right? وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What is in the chests, in the hearts, they're going to come out on that day. And then Allah ends by saying He is fully aware of us on that day, on the Day of Judgment. And so these are Allah's names, Al-Alim, Al-Alim, and Al-Khabir. We move on to what these names teach us. The first lesson that we learn is that the knowledge of Allah is unlike the knowledge of His creation. Allah's knowledge cannot be compared to the knowledge of anyone else, whether it is human beings or the jinn or anyone else. Allah's knowledge is not preceded by ignorance, and it is not followed by forgetfulness. Contrary to human beings. Whatever knowledge you have, no matter who you are, even if you are the most knowledgeable intellectual person on the face of the earth, your knowledge was preceded by ignorance. You acquire this knowledge. That is not the case with Allah. His knowledge is a part of who He is. And there comes a time when we forget things that we used to know. That is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. And your Lord does not forget. And as we mentioned, this is why Allah is attributed with ilm and not ma'rifah, as we mentioned. The second lesson that we learn is that the knowledge of Allah encompasses everything. So Allah knows everything before it existed and how its existence will be until the very end. And He even knows that which will never exist. If it was to exist, how it would exist. Allah knows that which will never happen. If it was to happen, how it would happen, only Allah knows. And so what this teaches us is to always refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything. And never to object to anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us when things don't go the way we planned and a mishap happens, something happens in our lives, we feel it was because of what we did. We did something wrong. And so we say to ourselves, if only I had done such and such in this way, the result would have been different. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not say that. Do not say law, don't say if. Why? He said, because that opens up the door of shaitan. Because what you're claiming here is that you know something that only Allah knows. Right? Yes. On the offset, it seems that if I had done something differently, the result would have been different. Right? It seems like that. But how do you know? Maybe it would have been worse. And that's why we say, only Allah knows. That which will never happen. Allah did not decree for it to happen. Right? If it was to happen, only Allah knows how it would happen. And this is why in the dua of al-istikhara,
our free will, like for example, if I chose the wrong option and it led to, for example, me losing my money, something like that, that is my choice, my free will, and so on. And what I've heard is, for example, if you did all of your work for something and you did the sa'i and all that kind of stuff, and it didn't work out, that's Allah's qadr. But what if I was lazy, for example? That's my choice. And that is the reason why I wasn't. So how do you connect those two things between my input and outside circumstances and Allah? Of course, everything is Allah knows, but we have our free will, right?
So that's a different discussion. That's regarding the qadr of Allah and our belief regarding qadr. And our belief regarding qadr is that Allah has given us free will, and at the same time, He exercises His will. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whatever you will, Allah wills it. So basically, the way we explain this is that Allah has given you free will, and whatever you do, whatever you plan, whatever you end up doing, it was written, decreed by Allah. Yeah, exactly. This is all part of His knowledge. But you can't use that to justify your sins or your inaction. Right? And the reason for that is because your inaction was as a result of your will.
So exactly, that's what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. For example, if a project fails because I was lazy,
yeah,
I can see that that's Allah's qadr and it is
yeah.
I can put the blame on myself.
Yes, exactly.
So in that case, it's low. Like,
well, let's go back to the same hadith.
Like, if I say, if I was not as lazy and I was more active,
yes, of course. Basically, we do have a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, basically on his Hajj, when he went for Hajj, he took with him al-hadi, the animals to slaughter. And basically, when he thought about it later on, he realized that it was too much of a burden, and it would have been better if he had not done that. So what did he say? لَوْ اسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِي مَا اسْتَدْبَرْتُ لَمَا سُقْتُ الْهَدِي. If I can go back and change what I did, I would not have brought the animals. Right? But here he's not objecting, or he's not trying to, you know, change the qadr of Allah or object to the qadr of Allah, right? And here you notice, there's a difference. The law, the if, that we're not supposed to use is the one that, you know, where it basically makes us discontent and live in misery. That, oh, if I had, you know, done things differently, it would have been like this. Then you start to basically live in despair and grief, right? Because you're thinking it's all because of my own self, right? But you're forgetting about the Qadr of Allah. So we have to combine the two. We have to combine the two. Yes, you know, I'm responsible for what I did. But in the end of the day, okay, I've learned my lesson. Now let's move on. It was the Qadr of Allah. Just like Adam alayhi salam, we know he ate from the tree. When Musa met Adam, he said, it's because of you that we ended up getting kicked out of Jannah. Right? So Adam said, you're using the Qadr of Allah, and you can't do that. Right? The point is, Adam alayhi salam, he learned his lesson. Right? And that's why he made tawbah. And it was a sincere tawbah. So the point here is that we need to balance between the two. We need to balance between the two. All right, the third lesson that we learn is that believing in these names of Allah should cause us to fear Him, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make us to feel a sense of the muraqabah of Allah in public and in private. And we have mentioned this regarding many other names of Allah, that when we ponder and reflect over these names of Allah, and we know who Allah is, it should basically put some fear in our hearts. That this is who we're talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who knows everything. The one who is fully aware of absolutely everything. As we said regarding Allah's name Al-Khabir, right? Why does Allah end that ayah with that name? The ayah of lowering the gaze. To remind us that you can't play around. You know, in the end of the day, you can cheat others around you, but you can't cheat Allah. So fear Allah. Allah knows what you're looking at, even if others don't. Right? That's just one example. But in general, these names of Allah should plant that fear in our hearts for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we shouldn't do anything or say anything that is displeasing to Allah. Why? Because He knows what we're doing and what we're saying. The next lesson that we learn is that when we know that Allah knows everything before it happens, and that He wrote it down before creating anything, this should cause us to feel at ease with the Qadr of Allah, to be content and satisfied with what Allah has decreed. Why? Because it is based on His knowledge and His wisdom. When you know that whatever Allah has decreed was based on His knowledge and His wisdom, this will lead you to become content with whatever Allah decrees, not objecting to it, not questioning the decree of Allah. How many people today, they question Allah, especially when a mishap happens to them, a calamity befalls them. There are people, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, they curse Allah because of that. And they put the blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they're going through. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Allah is not questioned about what He does, but they will be questioned. Who are you to question Allah when He created you and He has given you everything? Who are you to question Allah when it is you who will be questioned by Allah on the Day of Judgment. Right? The point here is that when you know Allah is Al-Aleem and Al-Khabir, that's it. You're not going to question, you're not going to object to whatever He decrees. Why? Because His decrees, His qadr is based on His knowledge and His hikmah, His wisdom. And so He knew that this was good for you or suitable for you, even if you don't see the wisdom in it. Right? That knowledge is hidden from you. Right? So we should become content and satisfied with whatever Allah decrees. The last lesson that we can mention here is that there are certain aspects of Allah's knowledge which Allah shares with His creation. Right? Which is basically everything that we have knowledge of today. You know, look at how advanced we have become scientifically. Look at what we have discovered in the world today that our ancestors, you know, did not know. Right? Whether it be with respect to us as human beings and what we know about ourselves, or whether it be with respect to Allah's creation and the heavens and the stars and so on and so forth. Right? We have advanced in knowledge. This is a small amount of what Allah has shared with us from His knowledge. But the greater portion of Allah's knowledge is hidden from us. And this is something we need to understand. The majority of knowledge is hidden from us. What we know is a small fraction. And unfortunately, this is something that a lot of people, they don't understand. And so you have the atheists out there today who say, we have discovered the entire universe, and there's no sign of the existence of God. That's what they say. That's what they say. And so this is from their arrogance. They think we know everything now. But in reality, the knowledge we have is like Musa alayhi salam and Khidr, or Khidr told Musa alayhi salam, as we mentioned earlier on. And so that which we do not know, among that is the ghaib, the unseen. And there are certain things that which Allah will never disclose to us. No matter how much we advance in knowledge, in science, etc., there are certain things which Allah will never share with us. And these are known as مفاتيح الغيب, the keys of the ghaib, the unseen. As Allah says, عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا. The one who has knowledge of the ghaib, and he does not disclose it to anyone. So, what are these keys of the unseen? Allah mentions in Surah Al-An'am, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. With Allah belongs the keys of the unseen, and nobody knows them except Him. What are these keys? The keys of the unseen. They're mentioned in another ayah in the Quran. They are mentioned in another ayah in the Quran. And they are five. They are five. No. At the end of Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. To Allah belongs knowledge of the hour, meaning when will the Day of Judgment occur. Number two, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And He knows what is in the wombs. And what that means is, even though today we can see what is in the womb, we could see the fetus, right? We could even know what the gender is, right? But that doesn't contradict what Allah is saying here. Because there are certain things that we still don't know about what's happening inside and how this fetus is going to come out. Is it going to come out alive or dead? Is it going to come out defective with a disease, etc.? There are certain things we don't know about it. Allah only knows about it. And then there are certain things about the fetus that we still don't know today. For example, exactly when the conception happens. Right? Exactly when the fetus is created. And so many other things. So Allah says He knows what is in the wombs. Number three. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. And no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. Only Allah knows. You don't know if you're still going to have a job tomorrow or not. You don't know if you're going to have a lot of money or no money. Only Allah knows. And number five, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And no soul knows in which land it will die. Nobody knows where they will die or when they will die, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Look at how Allah ends the ayah with both names. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. There are four. We missed one. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. That's number two. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. And Allah sends down the rain. So again, we don't know where the rain will come or when it will come. Again, even if we're able to predict and we have forecasts, many times they're wrong. And they're not 100% accurate. And then, even these forecasts, they can only predict up to a certain time before. They can't predict a year in advance, or even a few months in advance. So this is knowledge that only Allah has. And this is why whoever claims to have knowledge of the unseen, the ghaib, the scholars say, whoever claims that he has knowledge of the unseen, he is a kafir. Whoever claims to have knowledge of the unseen, he's a disbeliever. And that's why Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to declare that he has no knowledge of the unseen. Right? And yet this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he doesn't have that knowledge, then no one else can. Allah says to him, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ. If I had known the unseen, Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, tell them, O Muhammad, if I had knowledge of the unseen, I would have benefited myself enormously. Meaning, if I knew the future, I would plan my way for the future, right? And no harm would ever have touched me. If I knew the future, then I'd be able to avoid any harm. But yet, even he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went through different kinds of hardships, right? If he knew the unseen, he would have been able to avoid those hardships. Alright, so we move on after that to the next three names. And these next three names refer to Allah's watchful sight over everything. The watchful sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything. And these are Al-Basir, Al-Shaheed, and Al-Raqib. Al-Basir, Al-Shaheed, and Al-Raqib. As for Al-Basir, it has been mentioned 42 times in the Quran. Al-Basir, which means the one who sees, Allah sees. It has been mentioned numerous times in the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah sees everything you do. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah sees what the servants are doing, etc. As for الشهيد, it has been mentioned 18 times in the Quran. الشهيد, which means the one who witnesses everything. And as for الرقيب, it has only been mentioned 3 times in the Quran. الرقيب has been mentioned 3 times in the Quran. For example, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. And so الرقيب is the one who observes. And so these names, what do they mean? They basically teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sees and watches everything there is to see and watch. No matter how small, no matter how minute it may be, He is the one who sees the movement. As the scholars say, He is the one who sees the movement of a black ant on a black rock in a pitch dark night. He is the one who sees the apparent and the hidden. He is the one who sees both material and non-material, that which is seen and that which is unseen by others. And so for us human beings, no matter how much we advance scientifically, we're only going to be able to observe and see the material world, right? But how about the non-material world? The angels, the jinn, shayateen, our own ruh, our own soul. These are non-material. And this is where science comes to an end, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see everything, that which is material, that which is non-material, that which is seen by us and that which is unseen by us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything clearly without any difficulty. He is the one who sees and watches every single thing all at once, without becoming distracted by seeing one thing and ignoring another. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. And He is different than us in that sense, where if you're looking at one thing, you cannot see something else. You'll have to ignore something else. But that is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is what these three names mean. Al-Basir is the one who sees. As for Al-Shaheed, as we said, it means the one who witnesses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He witnesses everything there is to witness in His creation. And there is nothing hidden from His sight and His knowledge. And this name, Al-Shaheed, also means that He will be the ultimate witness on the Day of Judgment. He will be the ultimate witness on the Day of Judgment. As for Al-Raqib, it means the one who observes. The one who observes, or the one who watches over. So He is the one who watches over us and what we do at all times, which includes not only our physical actions, but also our inner thoughts and our feelings. Allah observes all of that. And so this is the meaning, these are the meanings of these three names. We move on to the lessons that we learn from these names. Number one, concerning Allah's name Al-Basir, part of our iman as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that Allah's sight is with His two eyes. Allah has two eyes, as is authentically established based on ayat of the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, when we say this, we add here, what do we add here? We say, Allah sees with His two eyes in a manner befitting Himself that is unknown to us. We don't know how. We don't know how Allah's eyes are. We don't know how Allah sees with His eyes. We simply say, Allah sees with His two eyes. And that's it. We don't delve into it. And to prove that Allah has two eyes, what did the Prophet ﷺ say about Ad-Dajjal? The Prophet ﷺ says about Ad-Dajjal, مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا وَقَدْ حَذَّرَ أُمَّتَهُ مِنَ الْأَعْوَرِ الْكَذَّابِ. Every prophet warned his ummah from who? The one-eyed liar. Who is the one-eyed liar? Ad-Dajjal. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَيْسَ بِأَحْوَرِ. And your Lord is not one-eyed. What does that mean? It means He has two eyes. Right? It means He has two eyes. Number two, the greatest lesson that we learn from these names is that they should cause one to have the sense of the muraqabah of Allah, or Him watching over us, His surveillance, right? When we know that we are being watched by Allah, we wouldn't dare disobey Him out of fear of His punishment. Whether we are in public or whether we are in private. And so imagine if we had surveillance cameras following us at all times. Your every move is recorded with these cameras. If you knew that you had these cameras watching you and that everyone has access to them, you wouldn't dare do certain things. Why? Out of fear of being disgraced and humiliated by people who are going to see us. Right? So how about Allah? How about Allah, who is Al-Basir, Al-Shaheed, and Al-Raqib? I mentioned the hadith. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith about Ad-Dajjal.
We know that Allah sees, but with two eyes means this, like, you know, we see like our eyes of what?
Yeah, so what did I just say? I said Allah has eyes, but we don't know how they are. Right? We don't know how they are. We shouldn't even imagine. Right? Because Allah and all of His characteristics, there is no comparison between that and human beings. So Allah also has hands. Allah has a face. But how are they? We don't know. For sure, they are not like that of human beings. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. We cannot even imagine how He is. But as long as Allah says that He has hands or face or eyes, then we accept it. We don't reject it. So in the Quran, what does Allah say? وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, so be patient with the decree of your Lord, for you are truly under our watchful eyes. You are under our watchful eyes.
Is this eye and the hand, is it more of symbolic for humans to understand? Like, because humans perceive something, like seeing something with eyes, they cannot perceive something without eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So to make them understand during the ages and Quran, was it symbolic thing to make them understand?
No, we don't say that anything in the Quran is symbolic. Because if you do that, then that opens up the door to interpret many other things that are mentioned in the Quran as being symbolic. And this is a mistake that many early sects, they fell into. They started interpreting the Quran through metaphorical language and symbolism. They said, to the point where they said, even salah is not the salah that we pray. And fasting is not the fasting that we do. All these are symbolic things. They said even Jannah and the hellfire are symbolic. They're not real. Right? So when it comes to the Quran, we interpret it as it is. And we don't say that this has a metaphorical meaning. And that goes also with Allah's names and attributes. But anyways, this is a long discussion. That will leave for another time, inshallah. Alright, the third lesson that we learn is that these names, they should also help us to have ikhlas in our ibadah and help us to perfect our ibadah and to worship Allah with ihsan. What is ihsan? Yeah, so doing something perfectly at the highest level. And when it comes to Allah's worship, that was defined by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was asked, what is ihsan? He said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. To worship Allah as if you can see Him, but if you cannot see Him, then know that He sees you. So one of the greatest lessons that we learn from these names of Allah is that when you learn Allah is watching you at every time, at all times, this includes when you're worshiping Allah. So when you're standing there and you're praying, although you cannot see Allah, you have to realize He is watching you. So imagine if you were standing before Allah physically present in front of Allah. How would you worship Allah? You would do it with ihsan. You would do it perfectly. You would be fully focused. You would know what you're doing. You would know what you're saying. Unfortunately, many of us, we don't do it in that way because we are lacking in these meanings. And we forget that Allah is watching us. The fourth lesson that we learn is that one of the meanings of a shaheed is that Allah will be a shaheed, a witness on the Day of Judgment. This should make one to be cautious of wronging others, because Allah will judge us on that day and He will be sufficient as a witness. Allah will be sufficient as a witness. Yes, there will be many witnesses on the Day of Judgment, including our own selves. But the greatest witness, without a doubt, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will judge between them on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Verily, Allah is a witness over all things. Finally, the last lesson that we'll mention, knowing that Allah is watching us should make us feel a sense of peace and a sense of security, not worrying about others, not worrying about our enemies and what they may do to us, right? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remind the prophets with. Throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remind the prophets. For example, Musa and Harun. قَالَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَن يَطْغَى. When Allah told Musa and Harun, go to Fir'aun, give him da'wah, they said, Ya Rabb, we're afraid of him and what he's going to do to us. What did Allah say, reminding them? قَالَ لَا تَخَافَا إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Do not fear, for indeed I am with you, watching you, hearing and watching. And Allah says to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasbir lihukmi rabbika fa innaka bi ayunina. As we mentioned, so be patient. Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be patient with the decree of your Lord, for you are under our watchful eyes. You don't have to worry about anything. Don't worry about your enemies. Don't fear them. Because we are watching everything and we're going to take care of you. But this is for the true believers. The true believers who deserve that protection of Allah. And so as long as you are complying with the commands of Allah and staying away from His disobedience, then yes, you have every right to feel like that. And you only feel like that because you know who Allah is. That He is the one who is watching you and He'll keep you safe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that safety and security. And with that we conclude. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much.